times along the way. I've seen trouble in my short days, but through it all I have no fear. You see, I have a friend who is always so near.
If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon
what never changes. Sometimes the way seems steep, but we're just human and we're so weak. Take it from me, when the road gets rough, He'll be there to pick you up.
If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon
what never changes.
If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon
what never changes. I stand upon what never changes.
Amen. Thank you for that special. I've enjoyed all the music today. It's been a blessing to my heart. I want you to do something right quick. We're going to check our time, and so I want you to turn back and look at the clock. That's what I think about every person that checks time during church. You big turkey. Amen. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Brother Dan said they fought about where to hang things. I don't know who hung that there, but I'd like to see you after the service. I'm going to shake your hand. Amen. 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 Some folks are, you know, amen, preacher, amen. Leave it there. About an hour after I'm still preaching, take that thing down, preacher. Amen. Amen. All right, I want to do something. I'm going to ask you, your Bible is open, and I want to help you today. I want to help you every time I stand up here, but I really believe that if you'll listen carefully, you're going to get some help today. I want to teach you how to apply biblical principles. You know, a lot of times when we meet, I try to give you biblical principles, and I try to help you to make application of those principles. But I want to slow down right here because I really believe for the Christian now, and I'm going to say even for the non-Christian, but in particular, if you're here this morning and you're saved, you're going to get you some help. The thing that every Christian, I believe every human being, is looking for in life is just peace. You know, when you, and I know that this is a kind of a running joke, it used to be in our home, these pageants where they would ask these women, you know, what do you want? World peace. You know, everybody wants world peace. And we used to laugh at that. But you know what? I believe people do want peace. The world is clamoring for peace. And whether it be peace in your heart individually, peace in your life, peace in your family, even in church, you know, it's amazing how churches have become just so disunified. And is that a word? I can make up a word. Our president can, so the preacher's going to. You know, just so it's terrible the way that there's so much disunity among people, whether it be in the workplace, in the home, in our communities, in our churches. And there ought to be some peace. Now, I'm not talking about locking arms and singing kumbaya, but I am talking about learning what the Bible teaches about having peace in your heart and learning what it is to have harmony and unity. Now, here's what we do a lot of times. And I said we, so I want you to listen carefully. We began to go through some trouble in our own life, or there's individuals that we are ministering to. Maybe they're in our family. Maybe they're neighbors. Maybe it's the church, a church member, somebody we're trying to help. And they're going through trouble. Now, the Bible says, Jesus said that in this life, John 16:33, you shall have tribulation. You're going to have some trouble in this life, brethren. So I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm going to say this morning. I'm not going to tell you how not to have trouble, because that would be a lie. You're going to have trouble, all right? But I'm going to tell you how you can have peace in spite of trouble. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, it's the peace chapter. We looked at last Sunday night at James chapter 4. That's the war chapter. Now, I want you to hold your place here in Philippians and turn just briefly back to James chapter number 4. In James, the epistle of James, turn there if you would, in James chapter 4. And we're going to see where there's war. And the war, everybody's experiencing it, okay, on some level. Sometimes you're at war with yourself. How many can say amen right there? You're at war with yourself, your members. Sometimes you're at war with your spouse. Sometimes you're at war with your parents, with your siblings, with your children, with your family, with your pastor. We're just at war. Sometimes you go to work and you're at war. Sometimes you're at war with your neighbors. I mean, it's something that's in man that is part of the fall. It's part of the depraved nature. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it's like they declared war on God. And because we're born with that Adamic nature, we're born with enmity in our hearts. And we need something to settle us and to calm us and to give us a peace. In James, in chapter number 4, he said, first of all, he said in verse number 8, he said, you're at war in your thinking. It's wrong thinking. He said the latter part of verse number 8, you're double-minded. You see that in James chapter 4, verse 8? He said, you're double-minded. Your way of thinking puts you at war. You can't be double-minded. Now, keep that in mind, okay? Double-minded. Now, what does God say? God said, I want you to be single-minded. In Philippians chapter number 1, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. That's single-minded, brethren. Here, James in the war chapter speaks of war. Paul in the peace chapter of Philippians 4 speaks of a single mind. James said a double mind is what causes us to be at war. When people are living for all sorts of things except for the thing or the person that really matters. And that's the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. We are here. The chief purpose of man is not to get all he can get. It's to glorify God. Say amen with me. Now, I believe I speak to a group of people who understand that this morning. And yet we're challenged in that area of our lives. So he said in verse number 8 of James 4, you double-minded. Look in James 4 in verse number 4. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, and this is speaking of spiritual now, not physical, though that's wrong too, but it's spiritual. See, a lot of times we'll look at people with the physical act, and if we're not careful, we'll look down on them when we're doing it spiritually. Now, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying that if you're not careful, you can commit spiritual adultery. Notice what the Bible says. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of this world is enmity with God? He said your life is causing you to be at war. So remember that. Number one, you're thinking, you're double-minded. Number two, the way you do things, the way you approach things, the way you approach God, your friendship with the world is causing you to be at enmity with God. And then number three, look at verse number three. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. You're at war because you're not approaching God. You're not praying the way God said to pray. And you're doing it amiss. The war chapter, all right? Look at verse number one of James 4. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? That's what this chapter's about. Now turn back with me to Philippians 4, and I want to help you. So, what can we do, preacher? It's something that we're all facing. You say, well, I'm at peace today. Thank God for that. But will you be tomorrow? You see. Well, I plan on being at peace tomorrow. Well, that's good, but will you be Tuesday? See, we struggle with these things. And so we've got to find out what God said to do in order to have peace in our life. Now, how are we going to have peace? Well, we know that peace with God, Romans 5:1, is when we get saved, and we covered that. But this is not talking about peace with God. The only way that any individual is going to have peace with God, and I want to quote Romans 5:1 to you, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to have peace with God. It's the only way. Man will eternally stay at war with God until he makes his peace with God through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the only way. That's peace with God. But here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, it's the peace of God. Now that's different. Now that we've made our peace with God, how can we experience the peace of God? Well, Paul said, I'm going to tell you how to do that. I want to tell you how to do it. Now, if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll do this. Oh my goodness, I'm in a war and I've got burdens and I'm troubled and I'm let's see. Oh, here I heard the preacher mention. Okay, Philippians 4 verse 7. I want the peace of God. And we think that we can do. You know, we're treating God and the Bible like a fast food restaurant, a drive-through. Doesn't work that way. There's four chapters in Philippians. And Paul doesn't mention peace till he gets to the last one. Why? Because he said there's some things you must do before you're ready to receive this. So for me as a pastor, for you as a Christian, for us as believers, to just talk to people and say, well, listen, if you'll just do this, you can have peace. No. There's steps to take. There's no microwave peace. You can't pop it in the microwave for 10 seconds and warm up peace in your life that's going to be lasting. There's principles to follow. And so I want to talk with you about them. We've studied through the book of Philippians. And there's some things that I hope that you highlighted, because along the way, here's what Paul was getting at. All right? This is the end of the means. This is what Paul was after right here. Paul said, I want you to experience the peace of God in your life. But in order to do that, there's got to be some things incorporated into your life in the previous chapters. All right? So please don't think, well, you know what? I'm in an unrest in my soul, and I'm troubled, and I'm at war in my soul, or I'm at war with others, and I want peace in my life, and I just want to have some peace. You know, I can remember my dear old mother. Bless her heart, and I was the cause of much of it. There were times where she would sit down and just say, and put her head in her hands and say, I just want some peace. I can't tell you in my lifetime as a pastor how many people's table or how many people's sofa I sit on as they poured out their heart to me and they said, "Preacher, all I really want is just some peace. Is that too much to ask?" No, it's not. It's not. But you don't just get it by desiring it. You don't just get it by reading Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We don't just accomplish peace in our lives by memorizing Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It's not going to come by just hearing a message on Philippians 4, 6, and 7. There's some principles. There's some teachings in God's Word as a whole, but in particular in the book of Philippians where Paul said, you want peace? This is what you must do. Now, you have to ask yourself the question today, do I really want peace? Now, am I saying I want it, but am I willing to do, if the preacher, if God's man shows me today what God said do to have peace, am I really willing to do what God said do to have peace in my life? Not just come up and come down to the altar after the preacher gets through and say, "Now, God, I want it. Give it to me. Amen." I'm not making light of anything in that area and that sort where people are spoke to by God, but I'm saying that it's going to take more than what can happen right here, right now. Going to have to put some work into it. Going to have to make some determination. Going to have to make some changes in your life in order to have God's peace in your heart. What are they, preacher? Well, I'm going to show them to you today. We're going to spend some time here. Because God will not let me get away from this section of Scripture. I'm convinced in my heart that the world is not the only place where there's unrest and trouble and fighting. Our churches are filled with people who are good people, who are well-meaning people, and yet their hearts are at such an unrest. There's a war raging in their heart. The peace of God has fled from them. The devil has lied and made many believers believe that it's something that's unattainable. It's something that's unreachable. Maybe the peace of God is just for the Apostle Paul, preacher. Maybe the peace of God was for those old patriarchs or the apostles. I'm telling you, the peace of God is for every child of God that will follow this prescription right here. The question is, are we willing to do it? We have gotten so accustomed to this microwave religion, to this fast food type of church, to where we think we'll be able to drive up, place our order, and get it just like that. There's just some things that don't happen just like that. Amen? And this is one of them. So here's the question. Do you really want peace? Now, only you can answer that question. I can't answer that question for you. I've answered that question in my heart. I want to continue to experience the peace of God in my life. I'm not in search of peace. Brethren, I have the peace of God in my heart. I hope that you do. That doesn't mean that it's a constant ongoing thing. It's like being filled with the Holy Spirit. I can have peace and some things can creep into my life and that peace will just flee from me. And I'll have to get back to the principles that I'm going to teach you from these sections of Scripture this morning. So let's start with this, all right? Look one more time at verse number 6 and 7. Paul said, be careful. We're going to go into detail in some of these words later on. But for this morning, we want to look at this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Now think about that for a moment, brethren. Paul in verse number 9 mentions the God of peace. You see that? He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, watch it now, and the God of peace. See, he is the source of peace. You can't have peace without God. He's the source of it. And he has resource to give to each person that desires it, but there are some principles that must be followed. Wouldn't you like to know what they are? I believe that the longing the yearning in people's lives today is the peace of God. So the God of peace said, I will give you the peace of God if you will yield and follow the teachings and the principles of my word. He said, it's a peace that passeth. Look at verse 7. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How can it happen, preacher? Well, in order, it starts right here. Go back to chapter 1 with me. Remember now. You don't just say, I want the peace of God, and then say, now where was that verse at over in chapter 4? No, no. You've got to look at what led up to that. See, after Paul had taught them some principles and some precepts, some doctrine, if you will, from the Word of God, now he's saying, now you're ready to apply these teachings so that you can experience the peace of God. And I pray that many would get some help. But if just one person got some help, it'd be worth it all. If one person said, you know what, I'm going to apply those principles. By the way, they never fail. God's Word never fails. It's always right. If we will apply God's Word, we will get the results that God has promised. Notice what he said in chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail here, but there's a few things that I want you to remember what Paul said. Remember that double-minded man that James said that was at war, unstable in all of his ways? Here's what Paul had to say about that. Chapter 1, verse 21, he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, have you got there yet? Have you gotten to the place in your life that Christ is the central theme and figure of your life? You want peace in your life? Then you must go to the Prince of Peace to obtain it. It's the only way. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, notice what Paul, what led up to verse 21. One of the things that I enjoy doing when I study the Bible is I take a verse of Scripture that is very well known. It could be John 3:16. It could be Philippians 4:13. A number of Scriptures that's often quoted and is used. And I go back and I see what led up to that verse. And it is astounding truths that you can learn when you see what prompted an individual through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to make a proclamation such as some of these verses that I've alluded to today. Now, what prompted Paul to say this? For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, and now here's what he's saying. He's saying Christ is all in all to me. Our brother last night talked about, he said, you know what? I'm not a gambler, but I'm going to use a poker term. He said, I got all my chips. I'm all in. You all in for Jesus? That's what Paul said. He said, I'm all in. For to me to live is Christ. It's not about me. It's not. You say, well, preachers, how can that happen? I want it to be that way, but I don't know how to get there. Right? You know, oftentimes as preachers, we'll make statements, but we don't tell you how to get there. We do that as parents too, by the way. We just do it as people. We tell people what we want, and sometimes we won't tell them how to do what needs to be done in order to get what we want. So, but I thank God Paul did do it because the Spirit of God said, this is what I want you to do. Watch what he said. I want you to remember, if you'll remember now, this is what he said. He said in verse number 14, the latter part of verse number 14 of chapter 1, he said, there are much more that are bold to speak the word without fear. He said, I want Jesus Christ to be known. You want to get to verse 21, you've got to start practicing verse 14. We have to get concerned about people knowing Jesus. We sang All Hail the Power today. And that song is basically saying, I want everyone on this globe to just bow to the majesty of Jesus Christ. How about you? I want everybody to praise my God. How about you? Amen? You say, well, preacher, I want it. Well, then what are we doing to accomplish it? See, no man is going to praise God until he knows him. You've got to know him to praise him, but to know him is to praise him. You can't know God without praising him. Say amen with me. Amen. So he said here, I want to make Christ known. So I'm talking to you about having peace. If you're saved and you're not making Christ known, you're going to continue to be at war. There's going to continue to be unrest. you're not doing your part in seeing that people know Christ and making him known. So here's the first step. God, you got to start witnessing to some people. You got to start telling some people about Jesus. God put this in me. God put it in you. God put it in us when he saved us to tell others about him. I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't have to go to any soul winning classes, and I'm glad that I did, so don't misunderstand me. But when I first got saved, there were people that were pretending not to be home when they would see me drive up. An example would be my mother and stepfather. My brother's here today. He'll tell you, I used to go, they'd be partying, playing poker and getting drunk. And Sharon and I'd go over there on Friday night and bust it up and start telling them about Jesus. I'd start preaching to them. You say, preacher, you shouldn't have done that. Well, my brother's in church today. My sister and all got saved. My mom got saved. Hey, I didn't know exactly how to go about it. I just knew there was a fire burning in me that God put in my heart. And I had a concern about people getting saved. I do not believe that God will save anybody that does not have that desire in their heart. It comes with it. When you get saved, it comes with a desire in your heart to see other people get saved. Amen. Now, it can cool off. It can cool off. Amen. But here's what he said. You want peace? You want to get to verse 21, look at it again now. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, I want my life to count for Christ. I want my life to count for Jesus. I want people to know I'm all in with Jesus now. It's not about the Dallas Cowboys. I figured everybody would say amen when I said that. Bunch of rebel Redskin fans, listen to me. It's not about some sports team. Amen. It's not about some hobby. It's not about some material possession. Brethren, for me to live is Christ. When we get there, we're on our way to verse 21. We're on our way to peace. But it starts with making him known. You get that? Look at number 2. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. What then? Of chapter 1. What then? Notwithstanding. Every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. He said, first of all, I want him known. I'm talking to you about how to have peace. Second of all, I want him preached. You ought to get behind some preacher, and as long as the man standing behind this pulpit is me or someone from this church or someone I have something to do with, they're going to preach Christ. We ought to get behind people that preach Christ and amen them to it. It wears them out preaching. Amen. Man starts preaching Christ, you ought to start shouting, preach on, preacher. Preach Jesus to us. Tell us what the book says. Preach the Bible to us. Not sleep and look back at the turkey and wonder if it's two wings after a tail. Hey, we ought to get excited about the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Get behind a preacher that'll stand up and preach without apology the authority of the Word of God. Paul said, I want to make him known. Then he said, I want to hear him preached. Amen? I wouldn't walk across the street to hear a man preach that won't preach Christ and him crucified. Amen. I wouldn't give 10 seconds of my time to a man that won't preach the Bible. Get up and tell stories and jokes and essays. We need some Bible preaching, amen. 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 You want to have peace in your heart? You're going to have to get concerned about the things that God's concerned about. And God, who is the God of peace, will share his peace with you and with me. And God is very concerned about his son. He wants him to be known and he wants him to be preached. Why? Because that's what's going to save man. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. Amen. Is that right, brethren? Amen. What I'm telling you straight from the Bible. Right. Some of it sounds a little foreign because we live in a land that doesn't want to hear the Bible anymore. But you want to hear it. There's still a lot that do want to hear it. Don't let this liberal media, don't let them confuse you now. There's a lot of people meeting just like we are today, hearing the same or a similar message just like you're hearing today. Thank God for that. Amen? So I said here, make him known, then preach. Then if you would, notice if you would in verse number 20. Remember we talked about this in verse number 20. We're leading up to verse 21. How am I going to get to where for me to live is Christ? where he's the central focus of my life, because I want to work my way back into chapter 4. Now, don't get nervous. We're not going to work our way back to chapter 4 today. So don't let the turkey make you nervous. All right? But I want to at least get you headed in that direction. How can we, as a people, experience the peace of God? It's got to start with our focus. What's your focus in life? What's your focus? I'm going to tell you what a lot of people's focus are, or is, themselves. Everything revolves around them. Listen, there are some people you can tell when they're not being stroked. They wear it. I'm so mad right now. What you mad about, brother? It's not about me. This thing's not about me. Things not going the way I want it to go. Everybody's not recognizing me. Right? A lot of folks living that way. That's why they have no peace. For to me to live is Christ. You see that in 121? Turn to 221. And you'll see what the Apostle Paul in chapter 221 combats 121 with, or compares. He said in 221, he said, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." 221 and 121 go side by side. Paul says, listen, there's only two ways you can live this thing here. It can either be all about him or all about you. And you get to choose. Now, if you're going to make it all about you, you're going to stay at war. Because you're depraved. Amen. Listen, I'm trying to help you now. You're depraved, you're fallen, and you're never going to be satisfied. Your coffers are never going to be full enough. You're never going to be stroked enough. You're never going to be petted enough. It's just never going to be enough for you. And we're all built that way. We're wired this way. And so when we make it about us, we stay at war. But Paul said, I've learned to make it about Jesus. I've learned to make it about him. I want to make him known. Paul said, I'm not concerned about making a big name for myself. You know, as a young preacher, and my wife is here to validate this, there was a time in my life where I got a little off track and I wanted to make it all about me. I had people telling me I was this and I was that, and I thought, boy, I'm something. And God humbled me. God humbled me. And God taught me, without me, you can do nothing, son. You can do nothing. That is the greatest lesson that I have learned in my Christian experience. It's helped me be a better husband, a better father, a better preacher, a better servant. Because as long as I thought it was about me, I thought people should bow down to me and come to me and tell me how great I was. And when they didn't, boy, I was at war. But when I learned to make it about him, God has flooded my soul with a peace that is deeper than a flowing river. And it's real. So he said, you want peace? You got to begin in chapter 1. You can't just turn to chapter 4 now and say, well, do this and do that and you'll have peace. Presto! Right? Wave the magic Christian wand. Woo! Presto! You got peace. Not at all. It starts with him. It starts with him. Are you saved? If you are, God put in your heart what he puts in every saved person's heart, and that is a desire that he be made known. And he wants to use you and I to make him known. Amen? And when we do not do it, there becomes an unrest in us. And so when we're not reaching out, when we're not involved in reaching people for Christ, it causes us to be at war with ourselves and with God and with others, and we have no peace. And so he said in verse number 14, make him known. He said in verse number 18, he's preached. And then look in verse number 20. The latter part of verse number 20, he says, so now, you see that? So now also Christ shall be magnified. You see what had to happen before he could say, for to me to live is Christ? Paul said, it's not about me. Paul had what's called the John complex. You know John the Baptist. He must increase, John 3:30, but I must decrease. John referred to Jesus and he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Paul had that. He said, I want him magnified. Paul didn't want to be magnified. Why do we do what we do? Why do I preach? For people to pat me on the back? Why do we do what we do in life? And only you can answer that. We're not here to... Listen, you be careful about summing up people's motives. Say amen with me now. I'm getting ready to close, but I want you to wake up for this if you're asleep. Now, there's not very many people asleep, but that one that is, wake up. Listen to me. I can judge a man's actions, but I can't judge a man's motives. And what do I mean by that? I can see what a man does. That's his action. I can judge that. But I can't see why he did it. So I need to stay out of that territory. Amen. And so do you. We're always tempted to think we know why people do what they do. We don't. Sometimes I don't even know why I do what I do. So I'm definitely not going to try to guess and think I know you do what you do. Say amen with me now. We're just broken that way. And so here it is. For to me, verse 21, 121, this is the first step. It's where we'll close today. For to me to live is Christ. First step. You say, preacher, I want peace. Let's get this down first and then we'll go to step two. See, it's our problem. I'm telling you, here's our problem. We want it instant. Well, I tell you right now, my wife will verify this, and many of you know this, and I think I speak to a group of people after my own heart. I do not like instant potatoes. Let me just go on record and say, I don't like instant anything. It's going to take some time. Now, I get, by the way, oh my goodness. I get a lot of flack about liking things plain and this and that. But you know what? I get it cooked fresh. You know why? They've always got it made up the way you want it. You didn't know that, did you? That's a takeaway for you. Take it home. Order it plain, they'll have to cook it fresh every time. Now who's the turkey? Amen. On a serious note, listen to me now. We think that God is going to give us instant. Can I tell you, getting saved is instant. I want to make that very clear. If you're here today and you're not saved, there's no steps to take other than you just stepping down out of your pride and asking Jesus to save you, forgive you of your sin, instantly you're saved. There's no 3-step, 12-step, whatever step program. You come to Christ, the work's been done, you receive, as Brother Dan said, just exchange from one to the other. Christ paid the penalty, he paid the price, he purchased eternal redemption. You receive it from him and you can be saved instantly. Say amen. Amen. But now we're not talking about peace with God, we're talking about the peace of God. And there's some steps to take. And not everyone's going to, just because you say, well, I'm saved, therefore I have the peace of God. Now you know better than that. How many people in here are saved this morning? I want you to raise your hand real high like you're proud to be a son of God. Amen. I'm proud. I'm proud to be a child of the King. Aren't you? Now you can put your hand down. You've seen them, right? You think all these people have peace? You say, who don't have it, preacher? That's not for me to know. But if those in our congregation today, those that are sitting here today that do not have it, you know. So you can be saved and have peace with God. And not the peace of God. So here's some steps to take, all right? So I'd like to go on from chapter 1. Let's just jump right over there to chapter 4, preacher. No, that's our problem. That's our problem. We live in a fast-paced, do-it-now, microwave, instant potato type of society. And can I tell you, there's just some things that God's not going to do that way. There's steps, there's processes to be taken. There's principles to be applied before peace. This kind of peace that passeth all understanding. That's a peace, brethren, can be experienced. I want you to stand with me. Today we took a step. We took a step out of the war zone toward peace. I want to get you into that place. Brethren, I'm telling you now, there's a place in God. You hear me now. There's a place in God where you don't have to stand around like this, wringing your hands, and, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, I don't know. You do not have to live that way. I am not, listen, this is not this false, you know, peaceful prosperity gospel. I'm telling you, though, when we follow God's word, the results will follow. But many times we'll try it and we'll say, okay, we'll get to step one, and when things just don't flood us, we'll say, oh, well, it doesn't work. Oh, now, wait a minute, God's word always works. You've got to stick it through and follow the steps that God has given. Have you made your peace with God? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Check that box if you have. If you haven't, I'm going to ask the pianist to come, and right now, you need to make a determination in your heart. I'm not going to get back there where there's peace in my life and tranquility in my soul until I first make my peace with God, and I'm going to do that today. Today, I'm going to make my peace with God. You have to make that decision. I can't make it for you. You may even be a church member, a Fellowship Baptist church, and yet you know in your heart you're really not saved. The Spirit of God's shown it to you. And you've allowed pride or whatever, concern about what other people think or be humiliated, but you know in your heart God has told you, revealed it to you. I'm not talking about the word of a man. I'm talking about the Word of God. God has shown you, you need to get right with me through salvation. In just a few moments when we bow our heads, you need to be the first one coming up here. And if you need me to help you, I'll help you. If you need a pastor of the church, if not, if you just want, you say, I know how to get saved, then you come on right here and get saved. You get saved today. That's you. Then you can check that box with us who have checked that box. Number two, this is what we've seen today in the Word of God. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want my life here on this earth to count for Jesus. It's not about me. You want the peace of God? This is where it begins, brethren. This is where it begins. God doesn't shuffle His peace out to just anyone that comes along. You want the peace of God that passeth understanding? All understanding. Got to make Him known. God put that in every believer's heart to make Him known. Got a desire to hear Him preached. You got to want Him magnified. If you'll read that carefully, Paul said, in my body, I want to be a part of magnifying Him. I want people to look at me and see Jesus as big. That's what magnify means. How you going to make God any bigger? You think about that, but yet He said that, amen? Because some people view God about that big. Right? And I want myself to be a magnifying glass so that when they look through me, they see God this big as He is. That's what He's saying. But we're not going to do that with living a defeated life about us, and right? Bow your heads with me. Think about it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the pianist.